ready. We're going now to hear about the reconstruction of the Polynesian Akei Scent Hardwood and Oak Flattening Group by Poanani Anderson Fung. Thank you very much.
Okay, ready?
Okay. Somebody asked me how I felt as an ethnobotanist going up in front of a bunch of linguists, and all I could think of was Eliza Doolittle when she said, "I washed my hands in place before I came, I did." So I'm about as cleaned up as I'm going to get without your input, and so let's see, maybe afterwards you might have some ideas to help me polish this up linguistically. Why am I bending over? Okay, can you all hear me okay? I'm pretty loud. So this study is about the recovery of plant names and the information that they can provide about the scientific knowledge of their indigenous name givers, the Polynesian people who are my ancestors. The path these words took started in the Tonga Niue region of Western Polynesia, which will always appear in orange when you see the data, and moved to the Cook Society hub here, which will always appear in green, and the Marquesan hub here, and diversified from there. And these are two areas of influence around these hubs in Polynesia, Central Polynesia, that are important to the story as well. So someone once said, if you lose the name of a thing, you lose the knowledge of that thing. In an earlier study, I searched for and found the identity of a plant named Lawa'e in the early Hawaiian pre-1900 literature. It was this very fragrant endemic Hawaiian fern, also known as Microstorm spectrum. Following a set of clues in the post-Linnaean and Hawaiian science and literature, I was able to infer that the original Lawa'e was probably Microstorm spectrum, also known in the old days or earlier times as Polypodium spectrum. So I went to the Bishop Museum and I actually found two herbarium specimens with the name Lawa'e attached to this species. So it's very good evidence that that was in fact the original Lawa'e. What do I mean by original Lawa'e? This plant you're looking at is the one that's commonly known as Lawa'e today. And it was introduced to Hawaii around 1919. And it became known as Lawa'e as well, probably because its scent is so similar to the native. It doesn't look anything like it. There's the native. And what happened was, as the native became less, which was once common on all the islands, became hard to find, the link between the name Lawa'e and the native fern was almost completely lost, until it was restored by my first study. But you know, it made me wonder. You know, in Hawaii, we have three different trees named a'e. And one of them is very fragrant. So when I finished the Lawa'e study, I wondered, might the Hawaiian word Lawa'e have been constructed from Hawaiian lau, meaning leaf, and a'e, to refer to Microstorm spectrum as a leafy or herbaceous member of the a'e group? If the two ferns were given the same name because of the similarity of their scents, might the a'e trees be linked to the ferns and to each other by scent? Inquiring minds want to know. Mm-hmm. So in Polynesia, a'e and a'ke are linguistic cognates. And it turns out that Xanthoxylum, Xylosma, and Sapindus are also known as a'ke elsewhere in Polynesia. In addition, this plant, Dodonea, is known as a'ke in Polynesia. And in Aotearoa, or New Zealand, the daisy tree, Olearia, is known as a'ke as well. So this was a great mystery to me, and I just had to figure this out. So my original objective had been to figure out why Hawaiian scientists had given the name a'e to three very different types of trees. And it changed to seek out new a'ke words from more destinations to go boldly where a'ke had gone before. So let's get in our Wayback Machine and watch this story unfold. Here are our players, the four main species called a'ke or a'e in Polynesia. This is Xanthoxylum. Now this plant is in Rutaceae, the citrus family, and it has an oil and a resin that makes every part of this tree fragrant. This is Dodonea, closely related family, Sapindaceae or soapberry family, and it has leaves that are fragrant and secrete a resin that gives them can be a very varnished look, and they can have so much resin they can be very sticky. Closely related is the soapberry tree, Sapindus saponaria. And it is said that the sapindus wood is white, full of gum, and smells and tastes like copal, which is resin and resins used in varnishes, and I'm going to take their word for it. And finally, the last one of the main four is xylosma. And this is really an odd duck. It's not anywhere near, morphologically, not anywhere close to the other three species. But there is one species, subspecies in the Society Islands that has a fragrant wood that is said to have the odor of violets. So this is all me. Long experience as a botanist in Hawaii had led me to believe that Hawaiian plant names are interchangeable with Latin genus. So I made the following assumptions. First, that indigenous Polynesian scientists recognize the genera Zambuxylum, Dodonea, Sapindus, and Xylosma as discrete taxa, but deliberately chose to name each either Ake or Ae for reasons that are discernible to modern botanical scientists if we can figure this out. So the person who said if you lose the name of a thing, you lose the knowledge of that thing was Carl Linnaeus. He was a man who believed that humankind should discover, name, count, understand, and appreciate every kind of creature on earth. It is said that one of his dearest wishes was to harvest the wisdom of the people hidden in the rich variety of regional names. And to do this, he proposed that we give an additional Latin binomial name to every species on earth to be used as a unique global identifier, not to displace any indigenous names, but to have one central point where all the information could come to. So here you see a map of, this is a distribution of Dodonea viscosa worldwide between these two dots. And so the way the system would work and does work is that if you were looking for information on Dodonea viscosa on the internet, you can tap into all the knowledge of the species because they are all connected to this one Latin binomial. So what I just proposed to do was to work the system backwards. What I want to do is dig up information on these six Latin genera and try to figure out the mystery of the Ake plant's identity. So I started by getting a map of Polynesia and finding out how little I knew about Polynesia. In fact, I had to color code the groups from west to east using the colors of the rainbow, orange, yellow, green, blue, and purple. And I had to grid out the main island groups, and I actually left that map on my floor for about 2 years. So phase one is what I call lexical logistics. And here I answer the questions who, which genera were named what, Ake or Ae, where, in which island groups. So this began by searching headwords of dictionaries for these words, and the older the better. The older the dictionary, the better. And this gave me a much bigger list of names. The take-home point here, because this is a lot of stuff, is that all of the Ake and Ae names fell into these same six genera. There were no surprises. There were no additional tree genera named. And then these two definitions in the middle are general, seem like they're more general definitions, and I'll come back to them later. They will be very important to this study. But all the Ake-Ae names fell into the six genera I mentioned in the beginning. M is Microsorum, the fern called Lawa'i in Hawaii. O is Olearia, that's the tree daisy. And also the other thing you notice right away is that they fall into seven different island groups, which are shown here in their relative position in Polynesia. So these two definitions, Ake in the Marquesan language, was defined only as a sota abtfai de, which is my horrible French trying to say a type of tree with very hard wood. And then ae is the Tahitian word meaning the name of a sweet-scented plant used for the monoi or native oil. I wasn't sure if this is a general term or a specific term. But what I decided to do was an inside-out dictionary search next. I didn't search the headwords, but rather the definitions of dictionaries, looking for these key words in those two definitions. These are sweet scent, monoi, scented, oil, lolo, coconut, tree, plant, and hardwood. And when I did this, I got two additional sets of words. That I got several very interesting new words from Tahitian. This is the original. Ha'eoro, a tree, the leaves were used for scented oil. Ha'epi, Kitsigi, a plant used for the native Monoi. From the Tuamotus, Akiaki, a creeper used to make native oil. This is the Hawaiian Lawa'e. And in Mangarema, we have Puake, Puhake, Atunake, which are three different types of scents. And the I only got one additional word, word related to hardwood, and that is also in the Tuamotus, where Akiaki refers to a stick. No, that should be Ake. That's a mistake, I think. Anyhow, a stick used as a bat in a game formerly made from trees with very hard wood. So finally, the last thing I did for this part was to compile information on the five Latin genera from botanical, ethnobotanical, and ethnological accounts, and recording all indigenous names for these genus genera. So I put these in a huge database and started to look at the data. Phase two I called charting chains of change. Don't worry, the alliteration gets worse. Here I look at the question, how did the Akiaki names and their meanings change over time? So this was the funnest part for me, the most fun part. The first thing I had to do was I had to put Marques and Ake somewhere. And this is a sort of tree with very hardwood, so I put it as Dodonea because although these trees have hardwoods, Dodonea is consistently described in the literature as having really hardwood. In fact, in New Zealand, they used it for ball bearings in World War II when metal was in short supply. The next thing I did was to look at the distribution of Zamboxylum. In Poma, it's called Ake. In the Society Islands, we don't have a name for it. In Hawaii, we call it Ae. In the Cook Islands and in the Marquesas, it does not occur. So it's pretty easy to infer that the name for Zamboxylum must have been Tahitian Zanthoxylum must have been Ake, because it's not likely that the name came to Hawaii directly from Tonga. The next thing I did was to look for patterns in the data, and I decided it would be a good idea to swap these two columns. What this accomplishes for me is that it puts the data in the order of increased number of shared innovations. So you can see that as you move from basically west to east, you find that once one of these genera becomes called, is called Ake or Ae, it is consistently called that all the way across, except that these markers here tell you that that genus does not occur in that island group. So the next thing I wanted to ask myself was, self, what is the Hawaiian name for Dodonea? And the answer is A'ali'i. Where did that word come from? Well, as a botanist, it's fairly obvious to me. It's the ae that is li'i. Of the four ae trees, this one is little. It's a shrub. It's never a full, like a tall tree. And how does this happen? Ae plus li'i becomes ae li'i becomes a'ali'i by a similatory umlaut, if I'm saying that correctly. So now I can confidently assign a'ali'i to Dodonea as part of, in Hawaii, as part of the Akiaki group. In the Society Islands now, we have to ask ourselves, self, what is a Tahitian name for Dodonea? And it is a piri. If anyone knows Tahitian, you're going to see this one coming. Ae plus piri. Piri is the Tahitian name for sticky. And I'm sure you remember from earlier when I said that the Dodonea has sticky leaves. So ae plus piri becomes ae piri becomes a piri becomes a piri. So we can confidently assign that there. And there's this new word I found in my Inside Out dictionary search, ha'epiri. Well, I figure that's just a'epiri with an H up in front. This happens a lot in Hawaiian, Tahitian, and Marquesan, I've noticed, because I've spent a lot of time in their dictionaries. Now let's look at how the meanings of the words change. You see, the group in the middle is the Western Polynesia, where ake refers to scented hardwood trees. And then the other definitions break out into two groups, one that is hardwoods in the Tuamotus and the Marquesas, and another that is has to do with scent, Tahitian, Cook Island Maori, Hawaii, New Zealand Maori, Tuamotu, and Mangareva. So let's look at this pattern on a map. This is where it gets fun. The original innovation takes place in Tonga for Zamboxylum Ake. The first Ake name is a Zamboxylum in Tonga. And then in Niue, you see the lowercase black Z That means that that genus, Xanthoxylum, does not occur there. But the name goes over to Dodonea. This name moves to the Marquesas, where Xanthoxylum is also not present, and it becomes a type of tree with very hard wood. Then the word moves from there to the Tuamotus, where you can see in the bottom blue square, these genera don't occur or they're very rare, and it's just the name of a hardwood bat. In the Society Islands, you get this diversification where the name comes to mean four different genera, and those are carried to Hawaii, Cook Islands, and Aotearoa to the extent that those genera occur. If those genera are there in those islands, they're named Ake or Ake. So here are the original innovations that take place in every one of these areas. And we've talked about these earlier. Was just pointing out here that in the Tuamotus and Mangareva, the name Ake means a creeper used to scent oil in Tuamotus and types of smells in Mangareva. So phase three, I told you it'd get worse. Systematic seeking semantic subgroups that systematically cement the set. I worked for a long time to get that one. Why did the meanings of Ake and Ake plant names change as they did? Well, I just started to read about scented oils in Polynesia, and I started Googling combinations of words. You see up here, I chose a word for the plant, a word for a property it had, and a word for a language or the island group. And when I Googled Xylosma fragrant in Tahitian, I got this from Asa Gray, a botanist, a very famous botanist in 1854. He quoted an unpublished manuscript by the Forester, one of the Foresters, I don't know which, in 1774. Now, the Foresters were the two naturalists on Cook's voyage, to the second voyage. And they said that the reddish sweet-scented wood of Xylosma suavolens was steeped in coconut oil, and that the oil thus scented was used by Tahitians to anoint the hair and bodies. So like, this is my total yay me moment. I was literally, I think it was 2 o'clock in the morning, I was jumping up and down, making as much noise as I could in the living room. Xylosma suavolens, subspecies suavolens, has fragrant wood and is found only in the Society Islands, but was it called Ae? It must have been. This is the only reasonable explanation for Xylosma having been named Ae. So now we can confidently assign Ae to Xylosma for the Society Islands. And I also picked up this, another botanist was talking about the Forester's remark, and he also mentioned that that Xylosma wood was put in coconut oil to make dyes fragrant. Then I realized that that might help explain why Lauae is called Ae, Lauae, in Hawaii, because Kamakau, a famous Hawaiian scholar, reported that Lauae was used to make dyes fragrant, and this might be why the fern was named Lauae in Hawaii. So let's look at them and try to see how this works out. In Western Polynesia, Xanthoxylum and Dodonea are both named Ae. They're both fragrant with plants that are very closely related. In fact, early botanists put them both in the genus Talea. That's how similar they were. So here's this orange box tells us that these are morphologically related. And Sapindus, which is first named Ae in the societies, is morphologically related very closely to this group, but was not used to scent oil. Now, after that, Xylosma is named because it was used to scent oil. Olearia is named Ake because it was used to scent oil in Aotearoa, and Lauae was probably named Ae because it was used to scent dyes in Hawaii. So you see both morphology and function. In conclusion, she's giving my flashcards. Here we go. From Tonga, the name passes to Niue, and Ake is given to scented hardwood trees. Pay attention, because these are going to separate next. When they move to the Marquesas, it's and Society Rarotonga Hub. Here in the Marquesas, scent becomes uncoupled from the meaning, and it's simply a tree with very hard wood. The opposite occurs in the Society Rarotonga Hub, where these three trees are used to make oil, so hardwood is not a part of the meaning. It's still a hardwood tree, but it's not part of the meaning. And these are the innovations we've talked about earlier that occur at the Society, the Rarotonga Hub. So we've said earlier that these names, for Zambaxolan, Dorinea, Sapindus, and Xylosma, go to Hawaii, Cook Islands, and Aotearoa, to the extent that they're present. Now here in Ana'a, in the Tuamotus, where those genera are not there, it's a type of creeper used for scenting oil. In Mangareva, it's a type of scent, because the actual genera are now uncoupled from the meaning of ake. And then in the Marquesas, you know, it's a tree with very hard wood. And then when we move down to the Tuamotus at Fangataufa, there's no Dorinea, so it's simply the name of a hardwood bat. So, conclusions. There's a remarkable consistency in the application of Polynesian plant names over thousands of years in a vast expanse of ocean. Once applied to plants, Polynesian names are consistently applied to the same genera until those genera are either absent or extremely rare. In new lands where Akeatic plants no longer occur, the words are perpetuated by applying the name Akeatic to other things, using qualities that have been used to pass the name from one genus to another. Polynesian scientists recognize the same genera as modern post-Linnaean botany, but plants were named either by morphological similarity or their use. The word Akeatic seems to follow the same one of the patterns of human migrations that have been theorized, moving from Western Polynesia into the two different hubs. And the three-step method that I used here was to gather lexemes for analysis was a powerful methodology that might be useful to others. And finally, just to show, this is what Pollux has for Ake, and their gloss is tree species. They have 6 correct entries and 3 correct identifications, about 50%. Because of this study, I have now 24 well-substantiated Akeae names, that's 4 times as many, 92% of which are identified. There's only 2 I haven't figured out yet, but I have my theories. You know, this is their gloss, this is mine, okay? This huge, massive thing, and this is why the talk is entitled Hardwood Scented and or, what? Plant name. Okay, hardwood scent and or plant name group. Because it's a very complicated story. So what we see here in taxonomic significance, taxonomic grouping is determined by plant morphology, cultural use. Linnaeus knew that, Linnaeus said that. But what seems to be important here is the path traveled by the word. If it hadn't gone to the Society Islands and it hadn't diversified in the way it did, we wouldn't have this protoform. And for linguistics, the full gloss of a plant or animal name can probably only be established by studies over deep time and vast space, and probably knowledge of the path that they took. So what else comes of this obsessed pursuit? Could it be that plant name studies can indicate the path traveled by the word, where studies of other types of words do not lend themselves to this type of finding? I don't know. I need your help. I'm not a linguist, I'm a botanist. And would those documenting indigenous languages benefit from looking more broadly across related languages, simply more than just one language? Would there be additional benefit here? I imagine that's possible when the near-bearing languages are closely related. So in conclusion, it may be that us earthy ethnobotanists might have something of value to offer to linguistic restoration, conservation, and documentation. Thank you very much.
So you said that the word Ake took on 2 different meanings northward into the Marquesas and then in the Society Islands and Tuamotu around there, eh? Or Mangareva.
Yes.
And so, but are you suggesting that the split would have happened? I mean, do those correspond to population movements? Because as far as I understand, the Marquesas were populated by people from like the Society Islands or somewhere around there, right?
There's a lot of debate on that. From what I've been reading, there's still a lot of people who believe that the Western Polynesians came to 2 places. They came to Marquesas and to the Societies, and then diversified and moved out from there. We know that, I think Hawaiians are fairly confident that our ancestors came from both places. But there is a group of people that say no, they all went to the Societies, And then recent work by Pila Wilson says that the name, the Hawaiian language came in from up, from northern outliers, came down the line islands into the Marquesas. So there really are a lot of theories here. But what I'm saying is that they just seem to suggest that they went to two hubs. The word ake went to two hubs and diversified differently. And then something I didn't have a chance to mention was that the names for Dorinea that are recorded and identified from the Marquesas are Kaiki and names like that, which is fairly seems to me that that could be derived from ake, iki, again, small ake, which would become kaiki eventually, ake iki becoming, aki iki becoming, well, you know, you got it. So, I have a little bit more trouble with that, but I did had to leave that out. But it really looks as though the name went to two hubs and diversified differently. And that has a lot to do with what plant species are there. The Marquesas are very, very hot, dry. The societies are much wetter and they have more forests. So a lot of the diversification and the uncoupling and coupling that occurs has to do with the environment and how it affects, and the culture and those two choices together.
Can I just follow up to that?
Oh, sure.
Because it's not inconceivable that the word retained its, the full range of its meaning at first in the societies, and then it was reduced to a restricted meaning in the Marquesas, if that was really the population movement, and then in a later stage after that movement happened, then the meaning changed in the societies. Right?
I doubt it because they have very different words for. You have to accept that as a possibility. But the names for Xanthoxuan doesn't occur, Dorinea does. But Sapindus and Xylosma are there, and they're quite abundant. And the name for Sapindus is Koku'u, which becomes our Aulu for Sapindus Oahuensis. And the name for their Xylosma is Pia'u, which means something that kind of stinks. So it tells me that wasn't really fragrant. and so we get our names for these species from the societies. It would be unlikely to me that the names would go get diversified into societies and move on to the Marquesas, but using your hypothesis, could they have gone from the societies to the Marquesas before diversifying, before the diversification occurred in the societies? Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, thank you. I'll take a stab at an answer to your question there, I think.
Thank you.
The question is yes. I think yes, there's a lot to offer here. As you were talking, I was looking in the Pauli Ross, 2008 Proto-Oceanic, so this isn't reconstructed there, so you're adding to that. And you mentioned that older dictionaries are better than newer dictionaries, something I think a lot of language documents
for this,
agree with.
Yes.
Well, for many things,
yes.
Actually, right?
Yes.
Which is something we need to think about in language documentation, why that is. And so now my question is that then you present all this beautiful stuff, how do we make this stuff more available and make sure the next person coming along doesn't have to go back and
well, this is going to be published.
For making, for trying to expand this knowledge more broadly.
Thank you very much. This is going to be published in the Journal of Ethnobiology. The Lawa'i is going to be in the journal that goes with the Society of Economic Botany. We've really been wrestling with that, and one thing is we think, one thing I intend to do after I get that PhD, hopefully before Social Security, okay? I'm planning to do is write a Hawaiian Airlines magazine type article on both of these stories to get it out to the general populace. Also make sure it gets to the ethnobotany database at Bishop Museum, which is where my 12-year-old daughter Googles when she needs information on Hawaiian plants, so make sure it gets there. And then the other one is a lot of the Native Hawaiian graduate students who know what I do are wanting me to put up a website. To talk about stuff like that. Like when I did the Lawa'i work, when I was trying to find clues to the identity of the original Lawa'i, I used old Hawaiian poems and chants. And you know what? You need the old dictionary to translate it. There was a word that meant a plant with a particular quality that is particularly known from that area. And then in the modern dictionary, Dr. Albert and Mrs. Bukui removed that of a particular area, and that was so key to figuring stuff out. So one of the things I would like to do is have, I mean, it sounds really boring, but people like the results, they don't like the boring work, but I would love to have a website also on searching for plant names, because I've learned a lot of stuff, like using old dictionaries to translate old things from the Hawaiian language newspaper. You know, there's a lot of words we don't know. I heard Hawaiian as a child, I was taught it at Kamehameha, but man, you know, we got this much of the vocabulary that our ancestors had, you know.
Well, the examples you showed going from tree species to an entire paragraph are pretty compelling.
Thank you. Any other questions? Are we out of time? I'm not checking my time anymore.
It's normally the session should be over. If you want to have the 10 minutes for people to change rooms, but if someone is really willing to ask.
By the way, if you have any suggestions, I'm very, very open to suggestions and comments, because I'm not a linguist, but I taught myself comparative linguistics with help from Albert Schutz. He was my personal tutor on a lot of this, but I really would appreciate any comments you have. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say, I think it's really important that this sort of information comes to people who are doing historical linguistics, as well as especially historical lexicography. And I feel like you were saying you're planning on publishing it for the ethnobotanists, but I think it's also important that we as linguists are able to get this information, all this research you've done, because there's a lot of situations where, especially in Polynesia, where I could see this being really relevant for future work.
Well, I would love to hear everybody's suggestions on how I could get this information to you,
yeah.
Because I really don't know how. Besides websites, I mean, and I'm not, I have